Have you seen the Frida Baby stuff?
No.
Oh.
What happened?
That would be a good update.
Okay. What happened?
So Frida Baby is like sexualizing children now with their products.
Oh, I did see someone post. I saw the Natural Nurse Minded Mama posted this.
And it's like bad. And I told Nick about it. And of course, Nick fucking laughed. But it's like.
I saw.
It is.
It's too much.
It's too much for infants.
I think that I saw someone was in Target taking pictures, which is also like, who's allowing that in the shelves?
It and says like ready for a quickie or like don't pull out too soon. Like things like that to where, okay, sure. Could you argue that like you're trying to be funny?
Oh, they know.
Whatever. You know what you're doing. It's infants that you are like infant products that you are sexualizing.
Yeah. I think obviously with the files and all the things that have come out there.
Yeah.
You know, I personally have had to really step back from social media and like not scroll and not look at things because it's absolutely disgusting. It wrecks you. And, you know, there's just so much negative that it's also for me, like one of the girls in our group posted, you know, how is this impacting everybody else? And I saw she was posting on Facebook and then you're getting in like these Facebook battles with people. Uh-huh. It's not that I'm absolutely against this, but at the end of the day, what are you going to do? Like,
other than be a light.
Yeah, you have to take a torch and set the standard and move forward and set boundaries in your life. And you're probably going to lose a lot of friends over that, mm-hmm. just like other beliefs that you have, you know? And that's why you just got to keep your circle tight.
Yeah. And it's hard. Carson this morning was in my office and he was looking at the diagram of the uterus that I have in my office. And he goes, is this like your mouth and your neck? And I was like, it's your vagina. I was like, no, it's your vagina. And he goes, what's a vagina? And I was like, do you know how you have a penis? Girls have vaginas. And he's like, oh. And then he went over to the liver thing and he's like, what's this? And I was like, it's a liver. He was like, what's a liver? I'm like, it's something in your body that processes. I don't know how to explain this to you, Carson. It processes toxins and all the things you eat and all the things you're exposed to. And he's like,
keep you healthy.
Yeah. Perfect way. But Carson also asked when I was taking a shower how babies are made. And it's just like these conversations that you realize I don't want to have with you right now.
I think it's so funny. Like, I think I've shared this on the podcast before, but having boys, no one prepared me for baby boners except for my friend Allie. Mm-hmm. And I was like, thank you so much for preparing me for that because I wasn't expecting it. And what are you... I mean, obviously our boys are growing up and eventually we're going to be dealing with socks and all these things. And I'm like, this is just dad's world.
Dad's world. I will deal with Taylor and the things that happen there. Taylor, she gives me no privacy. So she just walks into the bathroom. I was like taking out a tampon. She goes, ew. And I was like, I mean, Taylor, it's going to happen to you at some point. Okay. And she's like, it's so gross. I'm like, first of all, you don't even know what this is. You're four. Second of all, at some point you are going to bleed out of your vagina because she thought it was coming out of my butthole because she doesn't understand that it's different. And so these are the conversations that we have with my 7 and 4 year olds of trying to explain health to my children, but not cause it to be like a sexualization thing.
Right.
Right.
Oh my God. I will never forget the night that we went upstairs and Marcus had been like playing in my makeup palette and then like told us that he fell in the shower, all this stuff. It was very dramatic, but I'm like, okay, you can't be playing with this. And I'm trying to explain to him, like, there's a difference. Like, and now he's got his deodorant, he's got his cologne. He loves that, but there's just a difference. Boys don't need these things. Mm-hmm. And they don't use these things. But at the same time, he's like, mommy, he has freckles on his face. You know, he's like, will the mask, because he uses my red light, like yellow and, you know, whatever light, will that take away my spots? And I'm like, oh my goodness. Like that breaks my heart, right? So it's just a lot of navigating these young conversations. I drive this little girl to school with us and it's hilarious to hear the two of them banter. She's a little bit older than him. And we got into this whole discussion around neighborhoods and subdivisions and suburbs. Yeah. And I was like, I'm not winning this argument because you guys just continue to keep battling back and forth. Just let it be. But anyway, so hello, welcome to Health Revival Show. We are just going to talk today about life, what's been going on. We're really tired of doing some science-y podcasts because we've had multiple interviews today and just also level with you from a mom perspective, a business perspective, a woman perspective that not everything is perfect all the time. We kind of want to lose our minds sometimes, and we probably would if we didn't have each other.
Yeah, pretty much. And I, something that we talked about before the podcast and something that I definitely feel on a level right now is like, you, once you go through a health journey and you get to a place of feeling really good, I think it's hard mentally to not want to always feel that good every day. Mm-hmm. And it is very naive to think that you will never have bad days and you will maybe never have bad seasons. Even like there are periods of time where I definitely feel like my body is working through things again. Right. And it's a constant kind of tune up and asking myself, what does my body need right now? What's smart for me to be doing right now? Like you cannot live fasted 24/7 where I feel super lean and thin all the time, but finding a balance to where I feel good, but also physically like how I look, right? Because I think as a female, it can be really hard with hormones shifting all the time. Like Liz and I are still very much premenopausal. I have a normal cycle. Liz has a normal cycle. Like hormones are shifting mm-hmm. monthly, regularly. And so we're going to have days, and our other friend Lindsay texted us like, can I just vent for a minute? I hate being a female and being in your luteal phase and feeling like you're holding a ton of water weight. And it's just, it happens every month. Like,
yep.
And I need to check myself every month of I'm in my luteal phase. I know I'm going to feel better in a couple of weeks, but like, it can be very hard when you get to the place of feeling amazing mm-hmm. that you don't feel like that every day. And we just want you to know that it's us too. Like, yeah. It happens to us too.
Yeah. And, you know, one of our practitioners asked, like, how do you navigate a high stress female, you know, who is type A personality going through, you know, the healing phase and just supporting her? And, you know, everybody has their different opinions on this. For me, and I've said this so many times on the show, but I go back and I say, what makes that person tick? And what will she feel good about? Because if you tell me to meditate, you tell me to go to a yoga class, you tell me to do these things that I feel are a huge waste of time and I don't enjoy doing, I'm not bought into it, I'm not gonna do it. Right. So for me, from a how do I manage my stress standpoint, I mean, I've set a lot of boundaries and those boundaries continue to become stronger as the world gets louder with all of this chaos and the world feels heavy. You know, there's so much happening and so much of it is out of my control. Actually, all of it's out of my control because, you know, again, no one cares what Liz Broman thinks about all of the things that are going on. And like, we want to solve the world's problems, but at the same time, taking on all of that stress is not helpful. And it doesn't help me show up for my family. It doesn't help me show up for my clients, for my business. And so I guess I would just really encourage you that if you're in that place, sit down and figure out what drains you, like truly, and what charges you up and do more of the things that charge you up. And if there's situations that you're finding you feel resistance with, ask yourself, why do I feel that resistance? You know, one of the things that one of our mentors is having us do right now is called the Sacred Six. I feel good about doing that because I know there's a purpose and an intention behind it, that I'm going to walk on stage someday with that confidence, that energy that I desire. I'm watching people that are doing the things I want to be doing. Those are the people I'm following on social media, right? And seeing how they present themselves, that's how I want, you know, to present myself. And so it also requires a lot more discipline, a lot more saying no, a lot more, just like we've talked about, like lines in the sand. When you make a decision, you have a lot less options. And so that's something just for this year, like in 2026, I feel like that's helped me a lot because there have been many, many days, especially going through this process of selling a home and buying a home and like the ups and downs of everything going so smooth. And like, I feel like it just crashed and burned, like a semi truck fell off a bridge, you know, for a few days there. It's just like all the things. And what happens is that that impacts your nervous system that then also impacts how your immune system is responding. And so that could result for some individuals of extreme fatigue. I have definitely been in that place. I'm feeling good right now, but like, especially in January, there were days where I'm like, I don't know if I'm going to make it through this afternoon. I am dragging ass. And that also is something that when you have the ability to be in tune with your body, when you've gone through a healing journey, you watch those things and then you say, okay, this is something that I have to get ahead of. I have to make some changes here. So whatever that might be for you, it might mean that, yeah, you're changing your dietary strategy because right now in this season, you can't put fasting on top of high stress, right? You might need to prioritize sleep and not watch as many shows with your husband, which means sacrificing like some alone time because you need that extra rest, whatever that looks like for you. But you really have to get in to that intuition and evaluate. And I would encourage you to do this every day, because like Becca is saying, not every day is going to be rainbows and butterflies. Like I certainly have days where I'm like, like yesterday, 5 p.m., I didn't eat lunch. So I was eating lunch at 5 p.m. with a screaming child on my lap. Like, I know this is not great for my nervous system. Like, where did today go wrong? I also had a crazy situation that I was dealing with in the business that was like a fire I'm trying to put out. And that really impacts my nervous system. And so it's like, okay, what are the things that I can do? I can get outside. We went to the park, right? I cannot be on my phone. I can lay down and watch TV. I cannot look at my practice better. So all those things are things that I would have done in the past, because I would just continuously check, did that person respond? What's happening? Mm-hmm. And now it's like, I just don't have the energy for that anymore. And I don't want to participate.
Yeah, absolutely. I'm in a season of trying to eat more and fuel a little bit before I go into probably some fasting strategies is most likely what's going to happen. And I probably spent the last like 7 to 8 months just inconsistently eating. Like there were days where I would be really good and then the business would be busy. I would be busy and I would just like, not, it wasn't a focus. And I could tell that I needed the accountability and support. And so like I've worked with my coach Dane in the past, I had taken a break for a while and I honestly needed that break. I needed it mentally. I think my schedule kind of needed it too. Cause I just wasn't adherent and I could tell, like, I just wasn't doing what he was asking me to do because it wasn't my priority. And so I started working with him again. And the one thing that's really hard as a female is, and any female that truly has gone into like feeding phases and more than food than you're used to, it's not comfortable. Like you don't like how you feel. You feel full, you feel kind of watery, you feel kind of fluffy, but we're trying to push harder in the gym with it. We're trying to, you know, keep steps up and all of those things, but it's for a purpose. You know, it's my body needs the extra food. Luckily weight hasn't really shifted much. It's just like, I feel a little bit more fluffy, puffy and watery with more carbs, which is fair, but knowing that like in my mind, this is setting me up for something. What the positives is what I'm looking at, like my energy. And I think this is beyond just the food, but like I've been doing some NAD. I've been doing consistent SS31 and MOTC. And so I've been feeling energy wise a lot better. My sleep is better. My HRV is improving a little bit. So like, there's a lot of positives that I've had, a lot more consistent energy, especially in the last couple of weeks. But physically, I don't love it, you know, and it's just a means to an end. And I'm trying to mentally be okay with that. But knowing that in these ups and downs of life and goals and different stressors that arise, like it's okay to not love where you're at in the moment, like still trying to find the positives. And that's something that I've loved with the group that we're in Bo Eason's mastermind, is he talks about finding little miracles every day so that miracles become commonplace in your mind. Like, it's like, it can happen. It will happen. You're expecting it to happen, right? Versus thinking that nothing good is ever going to happen and having kind of that doom and gloom mindset. I've really been finding myself happier in general. And looking for all of these positives, like I'm searching for them. And then you start seeing these things that are happening and it's like, oh, things are actually starting to happen for me. And, you know, if I wasn't looking for them, would they be, you know? And it's kind of like the idea of manifestation, but essentially if you never in your mind look for something positive, good luck ever seeing it.
I think one of the things he talks about too is being very specific. And I think that's an important thing to call out here. I was actually sharing with him because we had an event last fall when we were with him, and then some trainings. You weren't on this training, but this training was the beginning of January. And we just had our biggest year in business. You know, we reached out to our realtor and our lender in Texas and said, hey, like, you know, where are we at? What do things look like? And I was just really in this moment that day of having all this crazy anxiety of like, everything's just going to come crashing down and burn. Like we built the thing, but like, it's not going to sustain essentially. And so I was asking him, like, how do you deal with that? And he's like, Liz, this is what happens to people who have huge visions and huge dreams and huge goals, because you're grateful and you're proud, but it's still not where you want to be. And so you have those feelings. And so he gives us an analogy of like, if you take a plane from Chicago to Cabo, because that's where we're going tomorrow, whenever you're listening to this, we're going to be off track 99% of the time, but we're going to land in Cabo. Right. And so he's like all about just reframing and re-centering yourself back on track. These automatic negative thoughts, restructuring them essentially and saying like, no, that doesn't serve me. This is false. A lot of these things are false. So asking yourself like, is this true? But being very specific and intentional about what you're asking for, because it's one thing to be like, I want to grow my business. Okay, well, what does that look like? This month, I want to get 2 new clients. I want to, book 2 stage events. So what are all the things that I then need to be doing in terms of applying to speak, to outreach, to create content, all of that stuff? And so being very specific. And that's truly what, for us, in terms of like the move and everything, I was very specific with a request. God, if this is like your timing, show it to me. All right, we're going to go. And then we went and it was like bigger than we could imagine and thought, right? And we come home, the house sells. And then all of a sudden it's like multiple things. And anybody who's sold a house like knows this, where like you're just hit with unexpected things, right? Like whether it's a bill or a sewer issue or a thing that they found in your home that you had no knowledge of, you're not expecting. And so it's like this emotional roller coaster, but it's still in that moment, the miracles. And I was journaling this too. You know, what can you find in your day that's good? What's the silver lining? And so for you, like when you're talking about, okay, I'm eating more, it's very intentional. I don't love the way it's making me feel because I'm holding a little bit more water, puffiness, but I also know that I'm not gaining weight or fat. It's aligning your expectation with the goal of the season. And that's where I think a lot of people don't get it right. They have an expectation to maintain a summer body at the time that they're trying to gain muscle. And therefore, you can't achieve the same with the both, you know, you can't achieve both at the same time. So be very specific with what you're asking for, but also align your expectation with the goal, because that's really where, and we see this all the time in our practice, if there's ever a client issue or something is, you know, feeling off, a lot of it comes down to the expectation that they had that maybe wasn't communicated and that's not being met. And so then that results in these negative emotions versus, hey, let's have this discussion of, here's the season that we're in, here's the expectation. And if it becomes too much or you start gaining a lot of weight, right, then we can always adjust. And that's why you have practice.
Yeah. And I would say something, I was actually listening to Layla Hormozi's podcast this morning and it was so good because she talked about capacity. Mm-hmm. And I think the perfect example is like, okay, you come in, you don't have lifestyle habits in place of being in bed on time. You don't exercise consistently. You maybe don't cook your food very much, but you think that you are going to turn around chronic health issues and lose 30 pounds in the next 4 months. You don't even have the capacity to do that. You need to build the capacity of the habits that require that to happen. Mm-hmm. And it was such a good thought of like, okay, I want to run a business. Do I have the leadership skills and the things that are required and the capacity to be able to do that? Because a lot of people, let me dumb it down. You want to run a 4-minute mile. You haven't ran in a year. Could you run a 4-minute mile? Sure, you potentially could, but you have not built the capacity to do so. And so that was like such a good analogy in terms of these big, big goals that I think not only do we have, but also clients often have. You have to kind of understand it takes time to build the skills and the habits and the routines that are required to accomplish those goals. It's not like overnight, you're just going to start doing all these things. Be realistic with yourself. Could you ultimately accomplish that goal? Of course you could, but it probably is going to take some time of you really restructuring and realigning your life to be able to do those things. And it was a very powerful message. Because she, not only personally, but business-wise, was talking about it.
Yeah.
And it was something that I hadn't really heard framed before in that way. And it makes so much sense in terms of, yes, you can want all of these things, and you can even have the willingness and the discipline to do them, but like, it's probably still going to take time of you building up the work that needs to go into that.
You know, and I think you brought up a good point there with the work that's required. So when you hire someone to help you, to guide you, to have all of this clinical knowledge, to look at your labs and your symptoms and make decisions on where we need to start, what boulders we need to remove, like we are giving you as much information as we possibly can when we're talking about all of these things and helping you connect and understand your puzzle and your body and why things are going the way they are. But at the same time, there is a component here that requires you to step in and take ownership. And some people, frankly, don't want to do that. They want to play the blame game. They want to have the identity crisis of, well, I have Lyme disease. I have mold. I have this, I have that. And then they're not seeing the best possible outcomes because they're not putting in the work that's required to do that. And when I say that, I mean, there's a lot of dietary strategies that we utilize that you need to be consistent with. Food is one of your largest inputs. You can't out supplement, out peptide, really, really, you know, crappy stress and poor sleep and all these alcohol beverages that you want to have 6 days a week. Like, you just can't do that and expect to see the change. So even evaluating, do I have the capacity to do the work that's required? Because that's not my practitioner's fault. In fact, it's my fault because I didn't do what I said I was going to do when I signed up for this program, right? And many people have that, not just in the work we do, but they have that in, for example, let's say a business mentor. I hired him because he helped this girl build her business, but then I didn't do the things that she did, right? In terms of the multiple hours, the steps, and really just following the advice that was given to get the same results or better results. And so recognize that when you're signing up to have a coach or a mentor, you're still needing to take ownership and accountability for the results, because it's either a lack of communication around what's not going well and how you're feeling, that you are doing the things, but it's just not maybe what is necessary right now, or that you didn't do the things. Mm-hmm. And if you didn't do the things, that's okay. There's no judgment. There's no shame. But what we have to understand is what got in the way of those things. Was it a mental block? Was it an emotional block? Was it external stressor that took away your focus from this? Because that is also called life, and that's going to happen. But if you're not transparent with someone, they can't help you course correct and navigate it. So I want to just remind you that the reason why you hire people to mentor you, to coach you, to guide you, is because they have scaled the mountain that you're trying to scale, and they're going to help you do it a lot faster. And communication through that process to pivot and adjust is really what's necessary. And there's no shame in that. It's just, hey, Dane, I feel really fluffy this week. And he's like, hey, Becca, yeah, I know. You told me last week, and you have told me for the last 7 check-ins. Yep. We're staying the course, because I know, Dane, I know you, obviously. He's like, here's your pictures side by side. I see what you mean, but the scale hasn't moved. Trust the process. And even with all the knowledge, we are emotional creatures. And so it can be hard sometimes. And this is where that mentorship and that coach and guidance comes in to say, get out of your own way. Because if you don't do these things, you won't get to where you want to be. It's the same way for us with Bo, doing the Sacred Six, applying to speak, then just going and showing up to speak.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, I think if you have been struggling with that, like, commitment piece and that capacity piece, it's like, find the accountability, find the person that's going to help you grind through it. And that's, I know myself, like, I'm very emotional when it comes to my physical being, just because of my past. And I'm sure Liz would admit this too. Like, I'm terrified of gaining weight again. I do not want to ever go back to how I felt when I was over 200 pounds. Like, it's a very real fear of my body working against me for some reason and me regressing back there, because, like, what I have built physically is my confidence too, you know, and my ability to feel happier in my own skin. So
we were telling about our talk title.
Oh yeah. So Liz and I, with the speaking events that we have, we want to be two fatties turned functional, because Liz and I were both fat, and it's okay. Like, I'm okay saying that. It is what it is. And
we were inflamed. Let's be fair to ourselves.
I was inflamed. There was a point where I was fat though, but, like,
well, yeah, maybe like the late night
post college. And I would rack up like $20 McDonald's bills and drinking a lot and just ate whatever the heck I wanted, honestly, on the weekends.
You're just reminding me of a time that I was in college intoxicated, and I went home to make a pizza, and then I fell asleep, and my friends came home like a few hours later, and the pizza was just like burnt to a crisp, but they were so hungry that they tried to eat the top of it.
Yep. Yep. Yeah, absolutely. There were many, we actually got blacklisted by the pizza place at our apartment, because there were multiple times where I would call and order a pizza and then fall asleep, and I wouldn't answer the door. So they just stopped delivering to us. So, you know, just great memories.
Yeah. I mean, not things that we're proud of. There's so many, like, funny stories that, you know, we talk about. It's like, how did we ever, like, make it through that?
I don't know how I'm alive.
And I was really trying to ask one of our practitioners. She's like, I think she definitely went through a rebel phase, but she won't tell us. What did she say?
She said, some things you don't disclose.
I'm was like, maybe she's giving us feedback that we disclosed too much. Listen, we're human and we were really fun. If you met me in college, we probably would have been best friends because we danced. We didn't go to the same place.
Yes. I would wear the freakum dresses, we called them.
Of course you did.
Yep. They were the tube dresses. You remember the tube dresses.
I was not confident enough to wear them.
Oh, okay. Well, I was because they were tight on your legs, but then baggy in your stomach and then tight on your chest. Mm. So like they covered the area that I was uncomfortable about. And yeah, I've totally used to go to the clubs and dance until 1 a.m. and drink all the beer and all the things. I was a good time. Really good time.
It's really funny because when you watch those millennial moms now, they're like talking to the younger generations and they're like, you don't even know what it's like. We would pregame. It's so true. Okay.
It's so true.
You know what we would pregame with? Burnett's. Yes. Okay. That was like $6.
Blue top vodka is Burnett's.
Oh, okay.
Yes. That's what we would call it.
Okay.
But yeah, super gross. And super,
I mean, it is like pure gasoline.
Yes. Yes. We, I saw a reel video. It was really funny. It was like, there was a news article that said, Gen Z is ruining the alcohol industry because they don't drink as much.
Yeah.
And one of the millennials moms was like, do you need us back? Like, do you need us to come back and help? I spent a lot of money at alcohol store, liquor stores when I was in college. And
did you have a fake ID?
Yeah, it was awful. It was my sister. And
did your parents know?
They found out, but like, she didn't look that much like me. So
that's so funny,
you know?
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, there's just a lot. And then, you know, it's now thinking, okay, so I was in, Meijer this morning and I was walking and there's the like middle of the store, not refrigerated section in the back by all of the bags, these Easter egg displays. Right. And then there's this huge section for Velveeta. Okay. This is shelf stable cheese that is just disgusting.
So gross.
Okay. But that was the thing that my mom made grilled cheese with.
Oh yeah.
Hamburger helper, grilled cheese with Velveeta. Like somehow we have survived, but a lot of the health issues that we both had, certainly we know that many of those things, you know,
yeah,
did not support us growing up. So yeah, it's just now, how do we continue to be the light? And I was just filling out that form for Institute of Restorative Health. And my big vision for us, and I know you feel the same too, is much more than just the women that we work with. It's the generations that follow. Because when you can help the mother, she spreads light and makes choices in her home differently that improve her husband's health, mm-hmm, right? That help her children. And maybe they don't like it right now, but they're building tools and knowledge. And I often say to women, I think it's amazing that you have the ability and the knowledge to help your daughter get out of this situation. Mm-hmm. Because I wish I had this knowledge at my age, right? And my mom did the best that she could, but for sure, the birth control and the proactive and like all the harsh things and the, you know, back and forth between going and eating flaxseed cookies at the health food store to chili mac and chocolate milkshakes at Steak and Shake. You know what I mean? Like it didn't help that it was so on or off or all in or not. And so just really for us continuing to help women around the world. And so all of that to say this, guys, like we just wanted to come on and kind of give you an update about in our personal lives, where we're at. Stress is really high for me, especially. It's not going away anytime soon. And I'm just continuing to stay focused on what my boundaries are, what my priorities are, which is obviously my family, our business, and everything else is kind of falling by the wayside. And honestly, through this process, it will just continue to refine and sharpen me. And that's one thing that, you know, again, being in this group with Bo, you want to be the best. We want to raise the standard. We want to set the standard in functional medicine. We have to continue to be refined. And what that ultimately means is that there's a lot of things that aren't going to come with us into the next phase. And that's okay. It doesn't make us any less. In fact, it frees us to be, I feel at least like more creative, more powerful, and just in that way, like unstoppable, because there are always going to be fires to put out. There are always going to be hurdles to overcome. There's always going to be little things that arise. And it's just like, I imagine if I was really good at Super Mario and I was on Rainbow Road and I didn't fall off. Because I tell Marcus all the time, like, I definitely would always crash on the Rainbow Road. Yes. But like, you learn to, like he says, get back on track. 99% of the time, you're going to be off track. Get back on track. So for you listening to this, I hope you would take that into your own life and say, hey, I'm not crazy. I'm not broken. Nothing's wrong with me. I have the tools and the knowledge because I listen to the Health Revival show and maybe I've worked with, you know, the Fit Mom team to navigate this. And it's a season and I'm going to get through it. And I got to give myself a little bit more grace right now. Like, this isn't maybe the season for some of you to be pushing really, really hard in the gym, to be doing crazy extreme, you know, cut phases. Maybe this is the season for you to eat intentionally, not intuitively. If we're eating intuitively, I'm eating chocolate chip cookies, okay? Eat intentionally to nourish your body, fuel your body. It's not going to be perfect, but it's going to be better because you've done some of the work and because you're a different person than you were. And I keep reminding some of my clients who are even practitioners themselves, you have this PTSD, you have this habit that you used to do, like binge eating or losing control or being out of control, whatever you want to frame that as. Yes, that happened in your past, but your past does not have to define your future. And it's all around you being intentional now with what you're doing every day. And it won't be perfect. But if you're looking at it and saying, where are the miracles? Where can I change little things to get myself back on track? It's that 1% that you're looking for every day, then you're going to be just fine.
Yeah. And the thing that I keep reminding myself of is like, if I don't feel my best right now, I think back at where I was and I'm so much further than I was then. Mm. And so like my quote unquote bad right now is like the lowest weight I ever hit when I was CrossFitting. Like it's, you know, and so I know in my mind, I'm still so much further than I ever thought I could be. It's just, I'm comparing to the very best and that's where I want to get back to. Right. And I will, but you have to go through these seasons. You have to go through these phases and it's constantly evaluating what can I optimize? What can I be better at? How can I find the good? Because the perspective on this is everything.